Okay, thank you. Good morning. My name is David McIntosh. I'm a principal scientist at Environmental Health and Engineering Incorporated, a firm just outside of Boston. I'm also an instructor of environmental management at Harvard. I'm here today to talk about induct air cleaning and a modeling study that we did and a health impact analysis that we did. It actually relates to the smoking presentations that just preceded my walking up here, especially the last one, because our work relates to homes and ways to remove aerosols from the indoor environment, the indoor air, and there's a number of ways of doing it, and we've been able to evaluate the efficacy of these different methods. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, two colleagues of mine at EH&E, Taeko Minagishi and Ted Myatt, and my other colleague, John Levy, who's on the faculty at Harvard School of Public Health. As many of you probably know already, fine particles, or PM2.5, in the ambient air are associated with a wide variety of health outcomes in humans, ranging from exacerbation of existing illness like asthma and bronchitis, all the way up to hospital admissions for cardiovascular outcomes such as stroke and heart attack, respiratory outcomes as well. And then eventually, they are also associated with premature mortality in people. It's been shown through some work by Helen Sue and her colleagues at the Harvard School of Public Health that the prevalence of air conditioning in a community modifies the health risks of PM2.5. These relationships, there's a plot from one of Helen's papers shown here on the right, where the left axis is the concentration response coefficients for hospital admissions for cardiovascular disease observed in different cities. Each circle is a different city, plotted against the fraction of homes in those cities that have central air conditioning. And what you see is that these diverse risk coefficients or concentration response functions observed in different cities, when normalized by the prevalence of air conditioning, line up, suggesting, indicating strongly, in fact, that air conditioning modifies exposure to fine particles that originate in outdoor air. Just like the previous presenter talked about ventilation, and that's really the reason why, is that with air conditioning, homes tend to be closed up more in the winter as well as in the summer, which limits the ventilation exchange of outdoor air, as compared to homes that have only natural ventilation, which may be closed up for heating in the winter, except for in San Diego, and but open during the spring, summer, early fall, such as in Maine, perhaps, for natural ventilation. So we hypothesized that factors other than tightening up a home, such as removal of fine particles, active removal, should further reduce health impacts of ambient fine particles. So our specific aims were to evaluate the potential for whole house high efficiency air cleaning to control population exposure to fine particles on a population scale. As I mentioned, there are a wide number of types of air cleaners available, and we examined many, including these high efficiency whole house systems that move a lot of air. In so doing, we're building upon some empirical studies that we've done earlier, where we've examined the efficacy of these a wide range of air cleaners in a test home, as well as in real homes and under laboratory conditions, essentially within ducts. And then we've taken these modeling results and we've estimated the public health benefits of reduced exposure afforded by these different air cleaning systems. So the approach, because of availability of contemporaneous data of different types that we needed for this analysis, we focused on the three biggest cities in Ohio: Cincinnati, Columbus, and Cleveland. For homes in these areas, we estimated indoor concentrations of fine particles for homes with natural ventilation, induct ventilation, so central forced air with a conventional filter, and also homes with central forced air and a high efficiency aerosol filter. And then we took those results and applied them to this a standard tool for health impact analyses that's been codified a couple years ago by the US EPA, the Office of Air Quality Planning and Standards. So a little bit more about each of these inputs. First of all, the fine particle concentrations that we worked with. As you may know, the states and the federal government monitor fine particles in outdoor air all across the country, focused primarily in areas where people live and work. Locations where these data are collected in these three metro areas in Ohio are indicated by the black dots on the maps. In total, there were 34 monitors in 2005, for which we obtained data from a publicly available EPA database. We put that data into a geographic information system, and we spatially smoothed the data by census tract, and then aggregated that up to the county level for each of the shaded counties in representing the three metro areas. Then we used a model called CONTAM. You see it there in the third bullet, that's C-O-N-T-A-M. It's a multi-zone indoor air quality model developed by the National Institute for Standards and Technology, which is in Gaithersburg, Maryland. This model has been shown to predict fine particle concentrations indoors as a function of outdoor levels and indoor sources reliably in a number of validation studies done by Andy Persily and others at NIST. So we took that model. It operates on an hourly basis. So you feed it with meteorological data, which dictates whether the windows are open or closed and how much the air conditioners are running, if you have them, and then allows the particles in the outdoor air to come in and then the indoor air to go out, taking particles with them too. So we use CONTAM. It's a very useful model in that regard. We also put into CONTAM information from the American Housing Survey on housing stock in those three metro areas, which also contains information on the prevalence of heating and cooling systems, basically forced air systems, by home type as well. The meteorology from the major airports in each of those three areas, and then the spatially interpolated ambient PM2.5 data. The air cleaning systems that we've tested previously in test homes, the results of which are actually coming out in that citation about halfway down, McIntosh et al., 2008. So we have a paper coming out in the November issue of the Journal of Air and Waste Management, which details our test home results and some of our laboratory results. So we took those results and we put them into this model. So the filter, the air cleaning systems that we examined, again, were natural ventilation, no air cleaning, basically. A conventional 1-inch filter shown in the top right corner. Many of you probably have that. I have something like that. A portable air cleaner. In our test home, we used one that's manufactured by Hunter Fan Company. It's shown there, the Quiet Flow HEPA model. It's a little plug in the wall. It has a HEPA filter inside of it, and it moves about 150 cubic feet per minute of air through it. And then we also used a high efficiency whole house induct air cleaner. It's shown in the bottom right. It's the one that we tested is just manufactured by Trane Residential Systems. It's called the CleanFX. That is why we had the financial disclosure too, because some of our work has been supported by them. And that air cleaner is 99.98% efficient for fine particles. It's been shown in laboratory tests. And then we've also shown that in our test homework. And it has a very high clean air delivery rate of 1,140 cubic feet per minute in comparison to the portables, which are only about 80s, also shown on the slide. The health impact assessment, so this is the last piece of the methods. The health outcomes that we evaluated are shown in the box. We looked at asthma exacerbations, emergency room visits for asthma, cardiovascular and respiratory hospital admissions, as well as premature mortality. The concentration response functions used in these calculations are also shown in the box. These are derived from a meta-analysis of the epidemiological literature done primarily by our colleague John Levy. Again, this approach, this health impact assessment approach, is very standard. Again, it's been codified in a piece of software created by the EPA that's called BenMap. It's a way that the EPA evaluates policy options for regulating ambient air quality. This model has also been recommended by the National Academies of Science when asked to review it by the EPA. So we used it to estimate the number of adverse health events for the 2.7 million people who live in those three metro areas who the American Housing Survey data say have forced air cleaning systems, for forced air ventilation systems. So what did we find? Here's a box plot of the 24-hour average concentrations of fine particles of outdoor origin within each home type that we modeled for homes that have natural ventilation in the gray box, conventional forced air with a standard 1-inch filter in the orange box, and then forced air with the high efficiency filter in the dark brown box. What we found is that the annual average concentration for the natural ventilation home was about 11 micrograms per cubic meter, shown in the upper right, about 7.5 for the home with this 1-inch filter, and 3.5 for the home with the high efficiency. Actually, there's a typo there. The third line under the first bullet should say high efficiency rather than conventional, next to the 3.5. You can also see that the annual average is in the dotted line for each of the box plots, just above the dark brown, within that greenish one, and within the gray one. And then the rest of the box is showing the distribution of the 24-hour average concentrations throughout the year. We modeled every hour in 2005, aggregated by hours by day. So you can also see from this that the distribution of daily average concentrations of ambient PM indoors does not overlap very much between each pair of these three scenarios, showing that they're quite different, in fact. We also, I didn't say this before, but we examined seven different housing templates that are contained within the content model, some attached homes, like townhomes, some detached homes, like single-story single-family homes, two-story single-family homes, etc. These differences were very consistent across the housing types. There's another way of looking at these results. We took those 24-hour average concentrations, made a cumulative distribution plot. So you rank the values from low to high, figure out what percentage of the data each value represents in a cumulative sense, and the results are shown here, where the high efficiency CDF for cumulative distribution functions in this dark brown, the conventional, the conventional forced air with a 1-inch filter plus a portable air cleaner we put in there too, and then a conventional without the portable, and then the natural ventilation. And what I think is interesting here is that peak excursions occur less frequently with the induct high-efficiency air cleaning system in comparison to the others. In other words, the upper-end concentrations occur less frequently when you have a high-efficiency system. I mean, it only makes sense, right? We've just quantified it. It's what we've tried to do. So here's as a reference point, here's the National Ambient Air Quality Standard for PM2.5, which is 15 micrograms per cubic meter on an annual average basis. A little bit of apples and oranges here, but looking at the number of days that exceed the annual average concentration. With the natural ventilation, it's about 20% of the days exceed that level. With the conventional and the 1-inch filter, whether you have a portable air cleaner or not, it's about 5% of the days. Let's see if I can draw the line down. And with the high efficiency system, it's less than 1% of the days. So you can see it's this: the better the filtration system, the higher the flow through it, the more you're shaving off the peaks. What does this mean when you run it through the health impact assessment? Well, in my opinion, it means a lot. On an annual basis, the number of asthma exacerbations, so avoided among these three metro areas, if every home that has forced air converted from a 1-inch filter to a high-efficiency system, would be 130,000. So 130,000 asthma exacerbations avoided. 560 asthma-related ER visits, about nearly 400 hospital admissions, either respiratory or cardiovascular outcomes, and approximately 700 premature deaths avoided each year. So the impacts are, theoretically, according to this modeling framework, are large. So in summary, the whole house induct high efficiency air cleaning has been shown through our empirical studies to substantially reduce exposures to fine particles indoors. We know from epidemiological studies and reanalyses of epidata, like Helen's work that I mentioned before, that health risks of ambient PM 2.5 are modified by levels of exposure inside residences for the very reason that you said. People spend a lot of time indoors at home. And these particles are very small. They can easily make their way indoors. The present analysis shows that in comparison to conventional filtration or natural ventilation, these high-efficiency whole-house systems can reduce PM 2.5 levels indoors by about 50%. That translates into about a 34% reduction in health risks. That difference is because people are indoors about 65% of the time on average. They're not always inside at home. And the public health benefits are substantial when aggregated on a population scale. And final comment is, I think this is very important because we live in a world that's full of sources of air pollution, whether it be particle pollution, power plants, cars, industry. We're actively, as a society, taking steps to reduce emissions of those fine particles, either through better energy efficiency measures, alternative fuels, renewable sources of energy. All good things, absolutely. Somewhat long time horizon, probably. So while source control is certainly the gold standard for public health, intervention is also a plausible and useful tool for short-term benefits. And the work that we've done so far indicates that cleaning the air indoors well and quickly is likely to have important public health benefits. Thank you.
A lot of questions. Okay. How should we do this? Are these all clarification questions? Maybe we'll take, you're doing well with time, maybe we'll take like 3 minutes for those questions. I saw your hand first.
Mine's clarification.
Yes, sir.
Did the system as you modeled it account for maintenance of the high efficiency?
Well, we did. The question was, did we account for maintenance? We did not account for maintenance specifically. Like, are you talking about like downtime while it's being maintained?
Yeah, no replacement of filters over time and the type of bleeding you might get in particular if the filter's not maintained.
That's a good question. No, we did not account for any potential changes, say decreases in the efficiency as a function of time as the system loads. When we did the test home work, we loaded them like crazy, all the different types that we tested. And we didn't see a drop-off for any of them. It was substantial, anyway. And so that's an interesting thing to learn more about, though. Tell me the number. Yes, I know the difference. The question is about the difference in the health outcomes, I believe, calculated right. You know, the reason is this: when we first did the work back in January to submit the abstract here, we were not accounting for the fact that people spend two-thirds of their time indoors at home. We were just using this concentration response functions for fine particles as they exist in outdoor air. But our analysis really is as the outcome as a function of the time spent indoors. So we normalized, basically all the concentration response functions got divided by 0.65. That's why they're higher now. That was John's other contribution. It's like, guys, you got it wrong. Fix it.
So. Two more questions. The data is, I guess what you did was you run a fan in the house 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and whether the window was open or closed for all of this, or how was this?
Good question.
I wasn't clear on how you actually did
that's
it.
good question for clarification. For the portable air cleaner, it's running 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. The conventional and the high efficiency, the induct ones, they're running at full fan speed when the thermostat's calling for heating or cooling, and they're running at half the fan speed during all other times, it's one form in which these motors and fan systems are sold these days as a way to have continuous circulation. Goes off and on by the thermostat, and that's what we model.
So the fan system is not running 24 hours a day.
Well, it is. It's running at full speed when the thermostat calls for heating or cooling, and it runs at half speed all the other time, and that's for all the scenarios that we did. Yeah.
Well, can we just stick with it because it's not fair for our next speaker? If he can just quickly, get a clarification question and quick answer.
Yes,
Liz. Cost clarification. Can you give us a little more information about how much we're talking about the difference between a 1-inch filter and a high efficiency?
They vary. The 1-inches are close to free, right? I mean, they're $5, $10 probably. It's my understanding that the high efficiency systems are about $1,000 or so to install. So there's a big difference, right, in the cost. It's interesting when on the other end of the cost question is what is the value of those public health benefits? Another kind of cost question to ask, and that's interesting too. We have a manuscript in submission in review right now that takes these results and does some cost work too. Hopefully that'll come out next year.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Very interesting.